All of his stuff looked good, some probably too good because it was probably snug, but he was different in everything that he did. He locked up different. He locked up snug.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back again to Snug Wrestling Podcast. My name is Edgar. I'm your host. And we are back. The crew is back. Mr. Blood, Toxic Tommy, and BT Knight. We're going to talk about the Friday Night SmackDown that took place a while ago because they're in Barcelona. So this took place a while ago, and I was trying to stay off my phone so I don't get spoiled. We watched it in regular time, in regular American time, and we're going to go over it now. I know we're a little bit late, but bear with us. We got some title changes that went down tonight. This is the third title change in, 2 weeks? We had Rhea Ripley lose her title. And then we had LA Knight became United States Championship last week. And then this week we got another title change with the Street Profits. They defeated the DIY and they became tag team champions. Not only that, we had two mysterious video packages, which looked like to me it was Rey Fénix, and there was another very mysterious video package that just had like some smoke around it and it said number 4. What the hell could that be? So I want to talk about that first, and then we'll talk about, if we have enough time, we'll talk about some of these other matches and segments that we saw tonight on Friday Night SmackDown in Barcelona, Spain. So let's get into it, fellas. How y'all doing tonight?
Awesome.
Mr. Blood, let's start off with the Rey Fénix video package because this ties into what we have been seeing with Chad Gable and the mysterious luchador guy that showed up on Monday Night Raw. So did you, first question really quick, did you get to see that video package I'm referring to that looked like Rey Fénix?
I didn't, but I can speculate on it either way. Okay. So as far as, go ahead.
Yeah, so it was very, very clear that it was Rey Fénix. But my question to you, Mr. Blood, and then we'll get everyone else's opinion, is they're showing a video package, which I'm pretty sure it's Rey Fénix on Friday Night SmackDown. If this is how they're bringing in Rey Fénix, if he's involved with Chad Gable, the mysterious masked luchador guy that we saw on Monday Night Raw, would they be playing a video package for Rey Fénix like they did tonight? That's my question to you.
I think if you're trying, here's the thing. Did the video package say coming to SmackDown?
Didn't say anything, just had some guys.
So it could be that the video package got ready in the middle of the week and they said, let's start promoting him Friday. Now, also think about it. If it's a Hispanic luchador, you know, whatever, they're in Spain, a Spanish speaking country. So it could be they also did it because they're there and they thought that it might hype the crowd. But as far as concerned with Rey Fénix, people forget that Rey Fénix was already supposed to debut in WWE alongside his brother Penta last year, because they were originally got released from their contracts. They were supposed to debut together as a surprise tag team, and when they AEW held up Rey Fénix's contract because they wanted to add time onto his injuries, to which there's the controversy going on where he was very upset about that, said AEW is inhumane, yada yada yada, they wouldn't let him out of his contract. They went and opted in for putting the Motor City Machine Guns in to debut in their place, because that spot was originally supposed to go to those two. So now we have the Chad Gable stuff, where Chad Gable goes on his little, you know, excursion to, you know, search for, you know, the secrets of Luchador and Lucha Libre and all this other good stuff. And then we have the Masked Assailant this past week, and everybody's like, well, it's got to be Chad Gable. He's got an American-made mask on. He's dressed like Chad. He's about Chad's size, roughly. And then we go backstage and we see, you know, Freaky Friday over here, where Chad's talking to Kathy Kelly, but who's that in the background dressed exactly like Chad wearing the mask that got hauled out? My question is, And I did say on Monday, I said, well, I thought it was Ray Phoenix at first. So my question is, what if they're bringing Ray Phoenix in to be a heel working with Chad Gable, and they can pit Ray Phoenix against Penta off the bat? So that would be basically, because how many baby-faced luchadors do we have on the main roster? A lot. Why not add a fresher, bigger name like Ray Phoenix in there, who has a direct relation to one of their largest, favorite stars right now that's recently come in Penta? And because let's be honest, no one cares about Santos Escobar. No one's popping for Dragon Lee anymore. No one cares about Joaquin Wild and all these other guys on either side of LWO. And, people barely remember Andrade until he's on the screen. So the biggest, in my opinion, biggest luchador, lucha libre-esque masked wrestlers in professional wrestling in WWE is number one, Rey Mysterio always, and Penta. So if you want a bigger story to tell, people know who Ray Phoenix is because they know who Penta is. And in my opinion, this is going to be controversial for a lot of people because I'm not an AEW fan whatsoever, but you could argue that Ray Phoenix is a bigger star than Santos Escobar, than Andrade, than Dragon Lee, than all these other guys, because he was pushed regularly over on AEW's roster until his injury. And he also has this controversy in the wrestling news that many wrestling fans are aware of. And now he's coming into WWE where people go, oh my God, is that Ray Phoenix? That's Penta's brother. They sell that on a microphone. They're going to eat him up. But if he's a heel, the story you could tell off the bat, keeping Penta's momentum very big going into Mania season and after, it makes sense. I think it is Penta. I don't think the fact that they played the video package on SmackDown matters. I think they just figured, let's start pushing it tonight.
You mean Phoenix?
And we'll show it again on Monday.
It is Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix. Sorry, Phoenix. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter if it's on SmackDown. They're just like, look, coming soon. Doesn't matter where, but coming soon. And I think maybe potentially, because some people did speculate it was Ray Phoenix on Monday and in the news after, they could be pushing that video package on SmackDown just to swerve people who already assume it's Penta.
Yeah, after I saw
it's Ray Phoenix.
After I saw the video, multiple times, I started to doubt myself, and I'm like, I don't even know if that really was Chad Gable under the mask. But anyway, let's move on.
And maybe that's the point. Yeah.
Tommy, let's hear from you because I don't know where Toxic went. But same question to you, Tommy, really quick. The video package that we saw tonight, I'm pretty sure it was Ray Phoenix, but also everyone believes that this is the thing that happened with Chad Gable on Monday Night Raw. This is how they're going to bring in Ray Phoenix. After seeing this video package on Friday Night SmackDown, do you think that it was still potentially Ray Phoenix on Monday Night Raw? Or what were your thoughts on this whole video package that we saw tonight on Friday Night SmackDown?
Here's the problem. How many wrestlers do we actually know that are the exact same, like, physique and everything to Chad Gable? How many of them do we actually know? Because we know Penta for sure. Obviously, there's not Penta. Bleh, my brain. Blood, now you've got me doing it, damn it. Like, obviously, we have Ray Phoenix, who immediately after his contract ended, immediately had conversations with WWE to bring him in. There's obviously Chad Gable himself, but there's not really that many other people that we could think of that are the exact same physique, the exact same build, the exact same height, exact same everything.
Okay.
So I do think that Ray Phoenix is still behind it, at least in the background. It's kind of obvious that when it was like in the ring itself, it was Chad. Like, it's very clear it was. But backstage, it could have been anybody. My guess is Ray Phoenix at that point.
All right, BT, what do you think about all of this?
I don't have any thoughts because I didn't even watch the fucking package, and I hardly even know who Rey Fénix is. All I know about him is his drama with AEW and Tony Khan being a fucking dick as always. So those are my thoughts.
Okay. I don't know where the hell Toxic went. Toxic, are you there? Can you hear us?
He's literally right here. Can you not see him? We all can.
I can't. I can't see him.
Can you hear him? Because he's right here. We're looking at him.
Nope.
Toxic, speak.
I can't hear him. Toxic, go back out and come back in, please.
He said yeet.
He said yeet, oops.
Four letters, one word. Yeet.
Four letters, one word. Shut the fuck up. No, I'm kidding.
Wait, what?
Toxic. God damn it, Toxic. You're going to get me fucking mad. If I can't see you, let me see. Let me check.
He's right there.
Let me check. Let me check.
Oh, wait.
Oh, there we go. There we go. My bad.
Yeah, he had his visual.
Nope. I still can't see him.
But he...
Oh, wait. Hold on. Time out. Time out. Time out. Hello? There we go.
Yeet.
Welcome back, Toxic. Yes. I've round been... of applause.
Yeah, welcome back, even though I've been here for like a long time.
All right.
Not messing with the settings again.
Where were we? Rey Fénix video package. It was shown on Friday Night SmackDown. Do you still think that he's involved in the whole Chad Gable thing after we saw the video package on SmackDown?
Okay, this is what I think. It was obviously Chad Gable out in the arena. Mm-hmm. Chad Gable could have said, "Hey, You're new here. Here's a new mask. Here's some shoes. Take this, and I'm out of here." So, what I think, it's just some Scooby-Doo shit.
All right.
My exact thoughts on this exact thing. But I do think that was a teaser for Rey Fénix coming.
Very well. All right. We saw another video package on Friday Night SmackDown. I saw a glimpse of it. I wasn't really paying too much attention to it. I just saw, like, some smoky stuff going around, and then a set of number four. Did you guys see that? Did I imagine that?
No, you didn't imagine it. In fact, that's all it was.
What the hell was that? Any ideas?
I have no clue what in the world that could be.
I think we'd have to sit there and think about anybody who's ever used four, maybe, in any of their stuff moniker. I mean, the only person who actually comes to mind that no one in this chat is going to remember, probably besides me and Snug, is Elijah Burke, who used to do the four all the time. But it wouldn't be the guy who does the perfect 10. It wouldn't be him. So, I mean, I'm imagining it's got to be somebody who's no longer with AEW. And here's why. Why would you give a video package to the man rotten? It could be, because why would you give let me ask you this. Why on earth would you have someone debut on the main roster and circumvent NXT's program, which is what they're all doing, especially when you're about to have a bunch of people get called up and you'll have spots open on NXT? Why would you debut the video package for this mystery person on main roster TV? So my question is, think of all the people who just got recently released. Malakai Black, Miro, he's gone. And you got to assume WWE's chomping at the bit to get Miro back, chomping at the bit to get Aleister Black back.
Miro?
Well, Miro for sure. Do you know, have any idea how popular Rusev was when he got released?
Oh, no, I was a huge fan of Rusev, but after his AEW run. Well,
but that's not his fault. That's their booking. They brought him in, used him for the first year and a half with the best friends, and then he was off TV for well over a year unused. Begging, and he was, by the way, tweeting that he wanted to use, tweeting his displeasure. He wanted to go back to, he asked them to let him go back to WWE over a year ago, and they wouldn't get him out of his contract when they did a freeze on the contract releases in AEW. He wanted to come back. And Triple H is known to be kind of a body guy like Vince without it being an obsession. And he knows how popular Rusev Day was. He knows how sellable that was, how marketable that is, especially for merchandise. Vince thought it was a fluke and thought everybody was just making fun of Rusev and thought just the fans were in on the joke with Rusev, so he never took it seriously, never pushed him.
I just feel like right now in the WWE,
it could be Miro.
Big scary heels like Miro, for example.
Bring him in as a face.
For example, do you guys remember Veer?
Veer Mahan, yes. But here's the thing.
Nothing to do with those type of guys anymore, I feel
but
like.
But no one said, but here's the thing. With Miro, you could bring him back as babyface. You said it was four letters, right?
No, it was just the number four.
The number four? Okay, well.
Literally.
It could be a number of things.
Yeah.
But if it was it, what was it cryptic looking?
Was no, it, you it was know, just a fucking number four on the screen with smoke around it.
That could be Malakai Black for sure, because Malakai used to come up with the floor through smoke.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's yeah, go ahead, Tommy.
Malakai Black back anyways. People have been saying that he would deal with Gable, teach him the ways of the Luchador, deal with them, or something to do with the Wyatt Six.
Could be Wyatt Six adjacent, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, when I think about it, there is no 90-day non-compete clause for AEW contracts, right? That's a WWE thing. And you got to think, Aleister Black's wife is Zelina Vega, who also just got moved to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be a potential reason that maybe one reason they moved her to SmackDown is because they negotiates with Aleister. He goes, well, look, I want to be able to travel with my wife. I want to be on the same brand. If you want me to come back, my part of my contract, my negotiation is I'm on the same roster as my wife.
And if I was Triple H, I would have been like, all right, well, it's good speaking to you. Goodbye.
Yeah, but Triple H is very close to Aleister.
Oh, he loves Aleister Black, huh? Yeah,
that's right. Loves him. He loves him. I forgot about that. He was one of his NXT darlings. It could be just a cryptic thing for Aleister's return, but it would also make sense if it was Aleister, because why would you separate Zelina Vega from the LWO and put her on that same brand that you're now doing these cryptic vignettes with?
Well, let's talk about that next, because that was another thing that I want to talk about. Alba Fyre, her tag team partner, was released a few weeks ago. And then last week, Alba Fyre showed up. She helped Chelsea Green retain the U.S. title versus Mia Yim in that Philadelphia street fight. And this week, she was dressed up like security, like Piper Niven. And now she has officially joined Chelsea Green. Alba Fyre did. They had an interview. Chelsea Green had an interview. And she was interrupted by Zelina Vega, which tells everyone Zelina Vega is next up for Chelsea Green. So I know a lot of people are going to be really happy about that. But BT, let's start with you, BT. Thoughts on Alba Fyre being a part of Chelsea Green's new little faction? And thoughts on Zelina Vega potentially being the next contender for the Women's United States title?
I've lost interest in this story. I really don't give a fuck where it goes. I just want Meechin to fucking get the job done. But since they've moved on, I really don't give a fuck anymore. I don't. Alba Fyre just coming in was just a move because her partner got released, and no meaning towards it. So why should I care? So those are my thoughts.
All right. Well, that was. I like the energy, BT. No, but you're right. Like that's why I brought up this question, because it kind of just seems like Alba Fyre is kind of just like an extra now. Kind of. I don't know. Tommy, let's go with you. What did you think?
One, the release was like a few months ago, not a few weeks, but
whatever.
But at this point, it kind of just seems like Triple H is just trying to figure out what the fuck to do with her. Because she was fantastic at being a tag team. She really was. But since Isla Dawn got taken out and released, there was almost nothing else to do with her. So at that point, he's like, well, might as well just shove her into this. I guess Piper needs some backup for some bizarre reason.
Yeah, for sure. Toxic, what about you?
I feel like the whole Alba Fire joining Chelsea and Piper was just something that was thrown together last minute. And also, I feel like that it was planned. Like, remember, I don't remember when it was, but Chelsea was getting mad at Piper because she wanted more security. Mm. So that's when Piper was probably going to look, and she asked Alba, and Alba said yes. Oh, and also, Zelina, you better get the fucking job done.
All right, Mr. Blood.
Yeah, I mean, as far as concerned, I think it goes a little deeper than just Alba Fire not being utilized. I think Triple H thinks a little more three-dimensional than that. I think that as far as concerned, he's putting Alba Fire with them because, one, Chelsea Green is a very overact right now, and it was hard for Piper to get over on her own the phenomenal talent that she already was and is, but never really got the respect put on her leading up to her eventual joining with Chelsea. And that's what happens when you let Vince McMahon saddle you with a gimmick like Doudrop and essentially pull all the wind out of the sails of one of the greatest female wrestlers on the independent circuit, as well known as Piper Niven was known on the independent circuit. And you put him with Chelsea Green, now they're both in overact together. And Alba wasn't really getting over in the tag division at all, so why not? If you released her partner, put her with an act that's already over, it's only going to help her. It's going to be for more TV time. You're with an act that is a champion, so that automatically gets eyes on you. The ratings probably go up even a little bit when you're on screen. What upsets me is that, no offense to Alba Fire, what an amazing talent she is. What an amazing wrestler she is. But out of the two of her and Isla Dawn, Isla was the much more interesting performer. She had that wow factor. She was, and no disrespect when I say this, but it is what it is. She was the eye candy of the group. She made it very well known that she would try to use that sensuality of herself and sell that in her character, the way that she purposefully moved, flaunted on camera, would rub herself. It was all a part of her presentation. And, you know, she had a lot of fanfare online. So if you were going to release one of the two of them, it should have been Alba, who didn't have that fanfare. Sure, the real diehard wrestling fan loves Alba Fire. You know, if you love tag team wrestling and you love their presentation, they, together, they were fantastic. But in my opinion, releasing Isla Dawn is the same thing as releasing, in my opinion, Sonya Deville. You release the two most interesting characters in their respective groups, and then you leave the remaining group members to flounder without you. Because the biggest name in the, out of those three girls in PCB, or PF, Pure Fusion Collective, PFC, Sonya's the biggest star.
PF Chang.
So now you've screwed Sonya Deville by releasing her and not re-signing her contract. But now you've left Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler there with no direction, no group that just formed. You've now done the same thing with Alba Fire. You got rid of the more interesting character, her team, the thing that made her a star. And you now leave her floundering, and now you have to throw her in with another group. So here's my thing. Stop breaking up your fucking tag teams to make stables. Because the only annoying thing here is they're doing exactly what AEW does. Everybody's in a fucking group. Why? Why is everyone in a fucking group? Either stop hiring so many people to where you overbloat your roster, to where you have to make all these fucking groups so everybody gets enough time together on screen. Or, gee, I don't know. Fucking push them as the tag teams they already are, or push them as the single stars they already are, and stop hiring people. Because if you overbloat your roster, you're gonna unfortunately have fucking 40 people that sit in catering every fucking week with nothing to do, like Natalia, who sits in catering 95% of the year until you decide we need a big name, relatively big, to help put over someone else that we actually care about. Hey, Natalia, we need you to go out and wrestle for the first time in 9 months. Can you put over someone like Roxanne Perez? Sure. Good. You got 7 minutes. We'll see you in 7 months. It's the same thing.
Am I the only one here that is actually a fan of seeing Alba Fire being security for Chelsea Green? Because I
here's the thing, I am for it. I'm up for it. I'm up for it if it gets her the spotlight and the attention that the rub from Chelsea Green's her presentation will give her, like it gave Piper. The fans have fallen more, the casual quote unquote fan has fallen in love with Piper more because she's with Chelsea. But the regular diehard wrestling fan already loved Piper. That's the thing. The diehard wrestling fan already loved the diehard on the indies. On the indies, Piper was a 15 almost 20 year vet in the game. But as far as it's concerned, when you look at Alba, she's an indie darling too, that people really, diehard wrestling fans, they love her work outside of WWE. It's the casual fan, which is unfortunately the majority professional wrestling fan of WWE, is the casual fan, who don't know exactly just how good and how much worth their time Alba is. So Triple H recognizing that, being now a professional of the WWE machine and the indie machine, now understands, well, if I'm going to get the casual fans to fall in love with you the way that the indie fans have fallen in love with you, I got to put you with someone that the casual fans have already fallen in love with, i.e. Chelsea Green.
Yeah, so at least they're using Alba Fire. They're using
I'm glad they are. She deserves the work.
They're using her with Chelsea Green, who is a huge star in the WWE. So she gets TV time. She gets to be in the same segments with Chelsea Green, who's super over, who's the Women's United States Champion. So I think this is a win for Alba Fire, and I am interested to see where all of this goes. And I'm happy for Alba Fire that she's still on the main roster. So I just want to hear your thoughts about that.
Really quick, Zelina Vega, you kept calling her Selena, but Zelina Vega, Zelina, I think that if you're not going to give it to Meechan, I agree with BT on this one. Meechan is definitely someone heavily underutilized, heavily underappreciated, but I do love that Triple H is trying to give her time with these Extreme Rules matches she's been in, the stuff with Nia Jax. They've given her time. They just won't give her the title. But no. Zelina was someone who Zelina can be over with the right audience. Zelina does have a connection with the fans.
She could be over with the right audience in Puerto Rico.
That's fair. Very fair. And I will give you that. But with the right time and attention, I don't think I don't think the fans want to see Chelsea Green drop it anytime soon. But if you're going to have Chelsea drop the title.
Oh, okay.
I don't see anybody wanting Chelsea to drop. I don't want Chelsea to drop it already. I love her.
Oh, you don't?
I love her with it.
Are you sure about
However, if you're going to have her drop it to someone, have her drop it to someone that it's actually going to help. And here's the biggest thing about that. If you're going to put someone over in a big way with a title match, you got to make sure the person you're dropping it to, remember, the title can't make the champion. The champion needs to make the title. Chelsea Green makes that title worth watching it be defended because she's a great character and a great wrestler. If you're going to ever drop it to someone, they need to be just as good or great as Chelsea is with it.
And that's not Zelina Vega.
And I don't think it is.
It's not.
And I agree with you.
All right.
I think it should be Piper.
Jesus Christ. All right, let's move on. let's talk about, I don't know who it's going to be. I can't think of anyone who is as good, not just in the ring, but on the mic and has as much charisma as Chelsea Green. But
Piper definitely has the chops for it. If she turns on Chelsea, it turns Chelsea face, which she already gets face reactions anyway. And then they can have a one-on-one for the dissension of their actual team. Chelsea goes on. Alba Fire stays maybe with Chelsea or stays with Piper. But it can work. But then you have a monster heel holding that United States title. And anybody coming up to face her has to put in the work to beat her. And that's the thing.
All right, we'll see what happens with that. Let's talk about the show now, you guys. Let's talk about, and I'm going to start with BT Knight again because we're going to talk about Mr. L.A. Knight. Yeah, okay. So, hold on, BT, control yourself. L.A. Knight comes out to start off the show, and he gets interrupted by Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso starts to, you know, give his spiel, like, I'm desperate, WrestleMania's coming up. I want to face you at WrestleMania for the United States title. Okay, I'm with it. But then here comes Solo Sikoa and his mighty self, and he says, no, 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 Jimmy. If there's one person that deserves a United States title more than you, and I thought for sure Solo Sikoa was going to say me. Solo Sikoa. And I'm for that too. Solo Sikoa versus LA Knight at WrestleMania, take my money. But he did not say Solo Sikoa. He said Jacob Fatu. And when he said that, the people in Europe, which by the way, Spain was a fucking amazing crowd, they popped huge for Jacob Fatu. They want to see Jacob Fatu come up, face LA Knight at WrestleMania. But this whole thing turned into a six-man tag team match after Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga attacked Jimmy Uso and LA Knight, and then Braun Strowman came out to even out the odds. It turned to a six-man tag team match. So we have so much stuff going on here, you guys. We have so much stuff going on here. Jimmy Uso came out to confront LA Knight. Solo Sikoa interrupted and said, Jacob Fatu deserves a title shot. So we have Jimmy Uso, Jacob Fatu, wanting to face LA Knight. And then we have the six-man tag, which ended with Braun Strowman and Jacob Fatu. So what do you guys think is going to happen here? You guys think we will see, because the Jacob Fatu and Braun Strowman story continued here. They've been going at it. Are we going to see Jacob Fatu versus Braun Strowman? Or are we going to see Jacob Fatu and LA Knight? Or are we going to see Jimmy Uso versus LA Knight? What do you guys think is happening here, BT Knight? Let's go with you.
All right. First off, shout out to Barcelona. I got the Barcelona poster behind me, 2017-2018 squad with Lionel Messi, all of them. Fucking amazing. That crowd, you are absolutely right. They were fucking awesome tonight. They did an amazing job. When LA Knight walked out and he got that standing ovation, I shed a tear because I haven't heard that much of an ovation for him since London Money in the Bank 2023. So it was really good to have those feelings again. Jimmy Uso coming out. Let me just correct you for a second because these bastards decided to edit this. When Jimmy Uso came out, he said U.S. titles. What he originally had said before they decided to cut it was U.S. tag titles. So you're telling me that you can keep the word titles and not cut out the S, but you can cut the word tag? How does that compute?
That's funny.
How the fuck does that compute? Anyway, moving on. I really want to see Jacob and Braun Strowman go at it again. But Jacob did say that he's going to go at him again next week. So I don't know what stipulation they have yet, but I really want to see a fucking street fight between these two. I really wanted them to fight at WrestleMania. Imagine a street fight at WrestleMania. Oh my God, I could just see that. Like, that would do numbers. Yeah. But that being a main event for SmackDown would be crazy in itself because they're two fucking behemoths. You know, so, but I strongly believe that Jimmy deserves a U.S. title reign. The only thing I'm skeptical about is if LA Knight's going to drop the title at WrestleMania, which I don't know if it's true. So if anybody can correct me on this, but I'm pretty sure if you hold that title for at least a good month or under a month, you're considered a transitional champion. Is that correct in any sort of way?
I mean, I don't think there's like a specific time frame. It just means like if you have a really short run, then I think some people may call you that.
It's honestly subjective. Technically, you could say that anybody who's gotten cashed in on with Money in the Bank is a transitional champion. However, there have been transitional champions that had to hold the title because another person they wanted to put it on was either out with injury, family issue, this or that, finishing up another story, and they were only using them to put it on someone else. So like Jey Uso, when he won the Intercontinental Championship and held it for a cup of coffee just to drop it back to Braun Breaker so they could get him back in the Bloodline story, they used that title transitionally through Jey so he could get screwed out of it in story to give it back to Braun. That is a transitional champion. You're using it to further a story and a plot line, and it's being used as a Schrodinger's cat to essentially, or a MacGuffin, to then push it somewhere else you really want it to go to further something else. So if he holds it for a month just to drop it, he would be, but I would consider Shinsuke more of a transitional champion than LA Knight at that point.
Yeah, but still, even if he's defending it within that month, and then he just drops it all of a sudden to somebody. The biggest fear is that it happens at WrestleMania, because everybody wants Jimmy to be U.S. champion, and I wish Shinsuke didn't win the match at Survivor Series. They had booked him as a big thing, and they had to just fucking put the title on him when you had such an amazing thing going on with LA Knight. And I understand that plans were running out. They were running out of ideas and things like that. But it was just so annoying how we had such a good build for Shinsuke and you did nothing with him. And that was just so annoying to me. So you put the title back onto LA Knight just for him to hold it for a month and possibly lose it to Jimmy at WrestleMania or Jacob at WrestleMania. And that is just something that I don't sit with very well. So those are my thoughts.
I don't know if the match with Jimmy and LA Knight would make sense because they're both baby faces. But if somehow they manage to do that, BT Knight, you're a big Jey Uso fan, right?
Yeet.
Okay, imagine this. Jimmy versus LA Knight.
LA Knight has to be the heel. LA Knight has to be the heel because Jey is so fucking over with those fans. And I understand LA Knight is as well, but Jey has more of a... How would I call it? More of a momentum shift, if that makes sense.
Sorry, my son was calling me, so I fucking... He's calling me again. LA Knight versus Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso beats LA Knight. Jey Uso beats Gunther on the same night. Jey and Jimmy in the same ring, both as champions. You wouldn't be down to see that?
I would be, but it's just how they booked LA Knight winning the US title that just doesn't sit with me. Like, for the second time. Because he shouldn't be a two-time champ at this point. He should only be one-time champ and then losing the title at WrestleMania, which I thought was the original plan, but they booked Shinsuke as a fucking monstrous heel and then beats him within the first month. It's like his first match back or his second match back, and he wins the title straight away, like right after being repackaged. Like, that's crazy to me. And I know people are going to sit there and be like, Motor City Machine Guns were debuted for 2 to 3 weeks. The hell are you talking about? They won the title within their first three matches. Yeah, but they're booking Motor City Machine Guns better than they ever booked Shinsuke. They didn't hide them on the shelf for a good solid 3-4 months. That's the problem. That's the problem. They're actually having a story with Motor City Machine Guns. They had nothing with Shinsuke. Yeah, it just didn't sit with me right. But I would love to see Jimmy and Jay both holding singles titles. I would love to see that. But it was just the way that they booked LA Knight's second title run that just has me up the fucking wall. So,
all right, Toxic, let's hear from you, Toxic. What did you think about this, the opening segment and the opening match when we saw the six-man tag team match? After everything that we saw, what do you think is it was like the major takeaway of all of this?
When LA Knight came out and started talking and couldn't talk over the massive crowd in Barcelona, good crowd, by the way, I said in my head, you know what would make this SmackDown good, like start off good? If Jimmy Uso came out. Well, surprise, surprise, he did. I would so love to see this at Mania. But I would be fine with just Jimmy and LA Knight. Fatal 4-Way, Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, Jimmy Uso, and Braun Strowman. But I just wouldn't see Braun Strowman winning that, because do we really want to see Braun Strowman with a title? No, we don't. So, yeah, but I loved this match. It was good. And... yeah.
All right, Blood, and then Tommy.
as far as I'm concerned, I've said from the get-go with this United States Championship program, I've said from the start that I definitely think, I don't see it as a one-on-one at Mania. I have seen it as a multi-man. I mean, this is the thing. I see so many of the matches on this Mania's card all as multi-men, because they've interwoven so many fucking people into each other's stories. And then it's not that they're stop-start, you know, involvements. These are, over the last year, have been weaved in and out of each other over and over again to where it makes sense that you would put Jimmy in the path of LA with Solo and or Jacob there, with Braun Strowman returning from his injury there, because, you know, any way you look at the match, everybody has a problem with each other, right? So LA's got a problem with Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu and Solo have a problem with Jimmy. Jacob Fatu has a problem with Braun Strowman. So, you know, and when you look at it, but here's another thing. If you have a fatal four-way, there's only one heel in the match if it's Jacob Fatu. So you've got three people getting cheered for, and then you have a heel who's also getting cheered for. So you do have that factor of the crowd will be into it all the way around. The least fanfare probably for Braun Strowman, whom people still forget at one point for a year solid was the most overactive in the fucking company. You know, years and years ago, he was the most overactive in the company. It's kind of crazy. I think that was almost 10 years ago. But when it comes down to this, the U.S. title has been treated, in my opinion, quite poorly since Seth Rollins lost it. And to be 100% honest, I don't think that the United States title has been treated well since Seth had his last run with it, when he was, you know, going back and forth with Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory, if I remember correctly. But, and I believe it was for the U.S. title, if I'm correct, right? It was not the, okay. So, the thing is, it hasn't meant much in over a year and almost a half. They've tried. I think the problem is that they let Logan Paul hold on to it so long without us ever really seeing him pump it up, you know, this or that. Sure, he brought it on his Impulsive podcast. Sure, he came in and had some decent matches, you know, against other people. But if I'm being honest, I think I remember like one fucking match that he had with that title, and I want to say it was Rey Mysterio, and I could be fucking wrong. So for me, I don't remember anything else he did with it. I don't remember anything Shinsuke has done with it, and that's fucking recency memory. LA Knight, the only reason I even remember LA Knight holding it for as much as he did is because of his nonstop, never-ending program with Andrade and Carmelo. But other than that, and I'll be 100% honest with you, before Logan Paul won it, I don't know who Logan Paul won it from. And I think it was Seth, but I'm blanking.
LA Knight.
And
Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio was the first
holder. He beat Austin Theory. And then
619. Okay. But that right there is a problem that I can't think back three champions. And we had all three of those people as champion in the last year and 3 months since January of last year. I can't even remember who held the title in order. That's a problem for me. Because you know what? I can go back in my memory and I can tell you everybody's held the Intercontinental title in the last year and 6 months. I can tell you everybody's held the world titles in the last year and 6 months. The women's championships in the last year and 6 months. The tag titles, not so much, considering we got new rebranded ones at last year. But I can tell you, I can at least name three of the teams that held them for both sides. But the U.S. title, I had to ask for help for someone to tell me who the fuck Logan Paul won it from. That's a problem. For me to not think Rey Mysterio, the big star that he is, tells you everything you need to know about the division. The U.S. title doesn't need a rebranding, but it needs to be booked better. And it never should have been taken off of L.A. Knight. Sure, they were worried that his run wasn't working because it seemed like it wasn't getting as much fanfare. It was kind of floundering. He seemed to be a better chaser than a title holder. But that's when you got to double down on the guy and give him a chance to prove you wrong. Not take it off of him the first chance you get and hot potato it on to Shinsuke Nakamura, whom we know has zero proven track record in WWE of being a good champion. He has held titles multiple times in this company, and every title run he's had fell flat. Okay? It fell flat. And so to take it off of him, to put it on a returning, you know, Shinsuke within just a couple weeks of returning, just so you could then be like, wait, what were we going to do with this guy again? I don't know, man. I think I lost the notes on what we plan on doing with Shinsuke. And then you go, well, fuck it. We'll just see how it goes, and then we'll take it off the first chance we get. And then they use his brother's death to take it off of him and put it back on LA with now these new rumors circulating online that Shinsuke may or may not be leaving WWE to go back to Japan. So that's in the works. That's a rumor that's circling this week. So it's like, well, why did you ever put it back on him if you had no plans past one feud with LA Knight and no other contenders after it?
Well,
because if you look at the U.S. title picture, how many baby faces are there really in there for Shinsuke to have gone up against? Think about it. The majority of the people in the U.S. title picture are fucking heels.
Like who?
You got Solo. Uh-huh. You got Solo, Jacob, Shinsuke, Carmelo fucking Hayes. Logan Paul, if he comes back to it. You got Santos fucking Escobar. Okay. How many baby faces were there really for you to throw at Shinsuke that would have been good matches, feuds that you could have told good stories with? Let me ask you this. Do you think they would have told a good story between Shinsuke and Jimmy? Hell no.
Why not?
Okay. A good story. What story would you tell?
I mean, The Mist.
We've had that story. So we've had that story with someone else. What, you're going to retread it? So, like, here's the thing. You're going to tell a good story between Shinsuke Nakamura and Carmelo Hayes, who's been on a fucking losing streak for a year? No. So why did you put it on a guy why did you put it on him if you didn't have a good direction for it to go? You know what I didn't want to see? I don't want to see Braun Strowman versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, God, no.
You know? So, again, why put it on him? If there was not a good enough division of stories to tell, it never should have left LA Knight until Mania. It's where you could have built a great story for a multi-man or between him and Jimmy. Jimmy's, you could have told the story of Jimmy's first ever singles win, right? You could have told the story of the rise of Jacob Fott too. Okay? There are a couple stories you could have told. You could have told the story of the rise of Andrade El Idolo or ran it back to where the feud between LA Knight and Andrade and Carmelo picked back up again leading into Mania after it had a cool down period, and then they could have put on a fucking classic together like they had been doing on the biggest stage of them all, and then crowned Andrade as the next US champion, who the fans love. It's just,
I think that's,
it was probably a miss. It was a miss. It was a miss.
I think that's probably what we'll probably see down the line.
Eventually.
Andrade as a US,
eventually,
US champion. But let's hear from Tommy.
But if you ask me, this was the time to do it.
Tommy, what do you think about the opening segment for Friday Night SmackDown and the six-man tag team match? And what do you think this is all going to lead to?
It's clearly leading to a fatal four-way. It truly is. But if I were to have LA Knight drop it to anybody, it's got to be Jacob. Jacob is so much of a powerhouse right now that those two just going one-on-one would sell seats.
Yeah.
Just because how big both of them are. Like, Jacob himself is an absolute powerhouse. But with Braun, what people seem to forget, and I would love it to see if Triple H can somehow tie this into Braun again. He was once Raw Tag Team Champions with the youngest tag team champion of all time. Need I remind you of that one episode, I believe it was of Raw, where he legitimately goes out into the crowd, grabs a random child, and puts him in the ring.
That was WrestleMania.
Wasn't that you, Tommy?
He did that at WrestleMania with one of the referee's kids.
Oh, yeah. But I would
I could have sworn that was you, Tommy.
Boy!
I'm kidding.
If I was over there, I would denozo you so fucking hard right now. Not funny.